Blog Talk Radio.
My guest, but that was Honeymoon by the Teskey Brothers. Now, they are getting a lot of my attention because they are from beautiful country of Australia. They are a blues band. If you roll up Johnny Lang, BJ Thomas, Roy Orbison, Robert Smith, Eric Clapton, and a few other of the old-time blues singers, that's the Teskey Brothers, and they are from Australia, and Australia is our biggest international listener to this show, and I have to pay attention to the Teskey Brothers because Australia has been good to this show. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Australia. Ran the numbers this morning. Y'all continue to amaze me. You absolutely continue to amaze me. We are almost to the 62,000 listener mark just on this show. We are 1,453 listeners away from 80,000 worldwide, including all of the podcast in 70-plus countries. I am so proud of y'all. I'm so proud of this show. I'm so proud of my guests, like my guest tonight, author P.J. LaRue, because it is y'all's show. It is not my show. And as I tell you every night, I could sit here and babble all night long, but I'm not who makes this show. It is the guests and the listeners that make this show, and I am so humbled and so grateful and so appreciate the fact that y'all tune in night after night. You listen in the archives. You go to the other podcast, and for this show not to even be 2 years old, it is so, so successful. And I look forward to next year because, it, Lord willing, will become even more successful. So with that being said, I want to introduce my guest tonight. This is her first time on my show. She is a fantastic, fantastic human being, and she writes great, great books. Her name is Pam LaRue. She writes under P.J. LaRue. She is a CPA and the Director of Finance at the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority. In her spare time, she has written a mix of winning books, including 2 children's books, a self-help book based on her own successful marriage for over, ladies and gentlemen, 35 years, and an anthology of short stories using the pen name P.J. LaRue. Ms. LaRue wrote poetry in high school, but she discovered writing books and short stories later in life. Her writing inspirations are travel, hiking, photography, my favorite, as y'all all know, and environmental consciousness, but she links these interests to much larger social issues. Pam is passionate about literacy, as I am. Y'all know that. Providing child safety tips, they're at the top of my list. She is committed to spreading the word that bullying must be stopped and teaching children about environmental concerns through her writing. So with all of that being said, welcome, Pam. Thank you so much for spending an hour with me.
Thank you, Yvonne. I appreciate you inviting me on the show.
Well, you know, it's been a journey getting you here, because I think I've had you scheduled for several months, and I was so excited when I got you, because the things that you are passionate about are on my bucket list as well. But before we get into that, tell me your journey. How in the world did you, writing and director of finance at the Orlando Aviation Authority, ladies and gentlemen, that's up around the airport for those of y'all that don't know what we're talking about. Tell me about Pam.
Okay. Let's see. When I was young, I wrote, like you said, when I was in high school, poetry. It was mostly surrounded by my parents' relationship, which was abusive, and so it was a release to me to write. And I was involved in a creative writing class in school, in high school, and we produced a little anthology of poetry that year, and I still have my copy of it. It was pretty cool to run across it one day when I was cleaning out the closet. And I stopped writing for a while. So I guess you can't say it's not really my calling, but I started again later when a major event happened to one of my coworkers. Her brother and her 3 nephews were all killed in a car accident, and at the time, actually, she had left the authority and was somewhere else, but I was still in touch a little bit, vaguely. And I wrote this poem and sent it through a friend to her family, and they ended up framing it and giving it to all the spouses that lost their husbands. I mean, can you imagine your whole family, the men, 3-4 men, all taken away at one time?
Wow.
And it was just so sad, and I was reading about it in the newspaper. It made the Central Florida newspapers for quite a while because the driver of the other car was drunk and high, and it was just so sad. And I haven't published that one. I told them that I would never publish that one, that poem was theirs. It's their personal poem. And they framed them. And I still have one in my office of it because they gave me a copy of it back with all the frames and pictures of the family members around the poem. And when my coworkers read the poem, they were like, oh, my gosh, why aren't you writing more? And so it was my coworkers that got me started again. And the first thing I wrote was a little short story, two or three pages long. And one of the moms there said, oh, you could turn this into a kid's chapter book. And she gave me a couple of her daughters. And so I did. I turned it into a chapter book, and her daughter read it. She was about 8 at the time. And her daughter started giving me little tips like, well, you forgot to name this character or whatever. And it turned into a cute little story. And so that was the first Mystic Princesses story. And her daughter is named Katie. So one of the princesses is, of course, named Katie after her so that she could feel like she was part of the story. And let me go back. I didn't explain how I got to the Aviation Authority. When I was in college, I was studying to be a teacher and really did well in math and took up the calculus in college, but I needed a couple more credits to graduate with my 2-year degree at the community college. And my husband was like, why don't you take accounting? You're good at math. It'll be a snap. And I found I loved it. It worked out for me. Things were solved. Problems were solved. Everything balanced. It was like the puzzle pieces come together. And so I found I loved it. And so I'm a numbers and a writing person, which is kind of rare, but it does happen occasionally. And then when I graduated from college, I was in Fort Myers at the time, and they had a branch campus. My college had a branch campus there, and Terry and I had honeymooned in Orlando and said, oh my gosh, let's move there. The job market's better for college graduates than Fort Myers, which is more of a retirement community. So we moved to Orlando 30 years ago, and I started working for a glass company. I was their accounting manager, and I'm still friends with them. I actually received a text from one of the owners today, former owners, they sold it, and had dinner with the other one last Friday. So it's fabulous to have old-time friends, by the way. And then I was at another place for about a year, but I landed at the Aviation Authority 22 years ago and started out doing accounts payable and supervising the people and payroll, and moved into their budget department. And from there, I moved into their construction finance area, which supervises how the airport grows, anything with the grants and construction. And that's still, even though I'm director, I'm still very heavily involved in that area because we have a $3 billion expansion going on right now.
Wow.
And yes, that keeps me quite busy, actually. And I love being there. The people are amazing. They have integrity. They care about each other. And to be a big company, it's pretty amazing to have the bosses that care. After Hurricane Irma, they ask us to check with our staffs, which we would have anyway, but they said report back to HR anybody who has damage. And the executive director came by and talked to everybody who had damage and said, we will help you if you need help. You need to let us know if you're having trouble getting repairs or anything like that. For the executive director to come by and personally talk to everybody that had damage was pretty amazing.
That
that's the kind of place you want to be.
Well, we have a caller. Let's see what this caller needs to ask. Hello, caller. This is your host, Yvonne, with PJ LaRue. What have you got for us tonight?
Hi, Yvonne. This is Sherry. I just wanted to call and congratulate you, first off, on your increase in viewership. Your show is so terrific. I love the diversity of all the people that you give us, and I especially love hearing from the authors. But I wanted to ask PJ a question, if I could.
Of course. And ladies and gentlemen, this is my darling, darling Southern sister, Sherry Rentzler, who is also an author. I'm so glad she called in. Of course. You can help me co-host if you want to.
Oh, no, I don't want to take your thunder. You do a good job all by yourself. But I have all of PJ's books. And first of all, as a grandmother, I love her princesses. And so I wanted to, you know, ask her a question about the princesses. But then I want her to regale a story from her Marriage Map book about the nuclear meatloaf.
Ooh. Okay, PJ, since Miss Sherry's opened that doorway, let's go for it.
Okay. So the meatloaf was really very funny. We were newlyweds, and my husband likes spicy foods. Well, meatloaf's not particularly spicy. So I was like, well, what can I do to it to fix it up? Oh, man, it was awful. I just opened a cabinet and put all kinds of spices in it and anything you can think of, and it did not turn out well. And it smelled. And we had a black cat at the time that was just beautiful. Well, my husband even kind of held it down in front of her, and she just backed away like, what are you trying to poison me with? And so needless to say, we actually went out to dinner that night.
Hey, that's
and
a good
honestly,
excuse,
I've never made meatloaf again, because why mess up a funny story by going, yeah, I really know how to make it? Because I do. I know how to make it. It's just that I was trying to make it spicy for him, and it didn't work.
But it didn't stop you from having a happy marriage.
No, we've got have a wonderful marriage. He's a great guy.
Well, so, I wanted to ask you a question about your princesses, if I could.
Sure.
The Mystic Princesses, you have two books that you put out. The one of them is The Mystic Princesses and the Whirlpool, and the other one is The Mystic Princesses and the Magic Show. And I wanted to know, as an author, how do you come up with the names of your characters?
The names of my characters. Okay, so Katie, as I mentioned earlier, was the daughter of the woman who encouraged me to write, and Brianna was another coworker's daughter. And Jana was, it's actually Spanish. If you know Spanish, J is a H. And Hannah is my niece, and I couldn't get the website name because I owned the websites for Princess Hannah or Princess Jana. I couldn't get Hannah, Princess Katie, and Brianna. I own all those website names. And so I had to change the H to a J for her. And Harmony actually is a variation of Ares and Aphrodite's daughter Harmonia. So she really is rooted in the Greek mythology. And let's see. Who do I have left? I have one more left.
Yeah, Coral.
I'm on the spot here. So basically they're all friends, daughters of friends or relatives, except for Harmony.
Well, they're terrific. And I, as a grandmother, I love reading the stories. They appeal to the little girl in me. And they, you know, I mean, I've kind of gone to the dark side as I got older. But the little girl in me wanted to be a blue princess. And so I relate to the princesses. And I like having strong female characters for our little girls. That means a lot to me. Whatever they're doing, I like what they're doing. So are we ever going to get the volcano story, book 3?
It is on my to-do. I really want to do it. I want to take them on a scavenger hunt through Hawaii because I know a fair amount about Hawaii from vacationing there a couple years, not years, but a couple times and over the years. And
doing a lot of research. I like to research places before I go to them so that I feel like I enjoy them and I know what I'm doing and what to expect. And through that research, I've learned a lot about what's natural to Hawaii and what's not. And so some of the scavenger hunt might include that they brought on mongooses to try to take care of one thing, but they created an issue, and now snakes and mongooses are actually they don't have snakes in Hawaii. It's the mongooses run wild because there are no snakes to hold them down in their population. And so taking them through the reader and kids through history and teaching them at the same time in a fun way so that they can learn about indigenous species at the same time that they're reading. I like to have them entertained and learning.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, I just, you know, I look forward to it, and I just, you know, wanted to ask you because I'm always interested in what other authors are doing and how they're doing it. And Yvonne, thank you so much for letting me call in. I really appreciate it.
Well, you should just hang out with us for a little while.
Oh, okay. I don't want to intrude, so.
No, you're welcome to share it.
Because you know the books. Did you know that she has coloring pages for the girls for these books?
Oh, I do indeed. I have really? All her books.
Thank you, Sherry. That's really sweet.
I can even ask you another question. In your book, The Point of View, I love all the little stories that you put together in The Point of View that you did based on history, which was very clever, and I applaud you because I don't have that kind of a talent. It's just terrific stuff. But your story in there about, chocolate and couture, or couture and chocolate,
yes.
About Imelda Marcos,
yes.
and how she ended the world, that is terrific. Tell us about that.
Okay, so that started with research on the Titanic for one of the other stories in there. And the 100-year anniversary of the Titanic's loss was coming about. And I don't know, I'm just a chocolate lover. I love shoes. You know, you kind of just have to think outside the box a little bit. And what would happen if the world had no chocolate? And how bad would that be?
Oh.
My life
would be the planet.
It's just terrible.
Homicides.
I'm not writing anymore. That's it.
The world without chocolate. Oh my. We could do with a lot of things, but Sherry, not a world without chocolate.
Oh no, I can't write if there's no chocolate.
That's
especially with NaNoWriMo coming. I gotta have chocolate.
Absolutely. In PJ, in your books, do you talk about your passions of child safety and literacy and bullying? Do you incorporate that in those books so that children get educated in those things?
In The Mystic Princesses and the Whirlpool, I have one character who is a shark, and he's a bully, and the princesses kindly take him down. And so, yes, I do try to do it. Not in everyone. I didn't do it in the magic show, but it just is when the story fits.
She's very good at creating very strong female characters. They don't, they have an antagonist because, you know, people are after the princesses and the children of Ares are not happy with the princesses, but the women are—they're not, you know, like uber powerful or anything. They're just smart, clever, intelligent, thinking girls, and I think that's what we need to teach our little girls to be. They don't have to be superheroes wielding shields like Wonder Woman, but they have to be smart and savvy girls who learn
right,
to teach themselves.
My girls to think. I want them to think, and I want them to be beautiful inside. What you look like outside, you sometimes can't control. But if you're beautiful inside and you're a good person, that is really what matters. And
yeah.
I want my girls to be that way. You know, to care about the people around them, to care about their surroundings and nature. And it's how I would raise a daughter if I have one. And actually that brings us to a new thing. My husband and I are in the process of trying to adopt out of the foster system. And we've had a lot of time to think about it. And the more we think about it, the older the child gets. A lot of people want young children, but we actually think for us in our age and the fact that we weren't parents earlier, that a teenager, even on the verge of young adulthood, is fine for us because we're both experienced with adults and mentoring and, you know, coaching employees or whatever. And we're probably better suited for coaching an older teenager than parenting a younger kid. I mean, we never had them. And so we're very excited about this. And the longer we've waited, the more sure we've become that we really want to do this. So we're excited about that.
So are you in the process now? Are you still going? Are you going through? I know there's 1,001 steps. So are you in the process of all the 1,001 steps to make this happen?
We are. We're in the process of, and hopefully nearing the 999 phase, maybe. I'm hoping. we're getting close. I believe we're getting close to having approval.
That is excellent. Now, let me ask you a question, and I'm sure this is, Sherry may know the answer to it. What is the age bracket of your books and of the characters in your books?
So for a reader, they're probably early readers, through third grade or so, approximately. The girls, I was purposely vague. Now, the first book, they attend a school that does, it's underwater, and so all of the teachers are like an octopus, and a turtle teaches history because some turtles can live 400 years. So what better teacher to have than somebody who was around to do it?
My favorite, PJ, was your self-defense class by Sandy Swordfish.
Yeah, you know what? Sandy was my mom's name.
That's so cute.
And so, yes. I had a lot of comments on the octopus, Olivia Octopus, too, because she teaches math and she's busy teaching at the same time as one of the kids is talking. And so she uses one of her octopus arms to kind of shush him while she continues to write, you know, and teach. So I got a lot of comments on the octopus.
Hey, I think we all need about 12 arms as parents and teachers. Seriously.
Would that be helpful?
Yeah. Women that are involved with children and even in the professional environment, we need at least 12 arms. Here at the house, it's just my husband and myself, but I need to be cloned to be 12 people.
Amen. I really.
Cloned.
Just clone me. So, Sherry, do you read Pam's books to your grandchildren?
I don't have any female grandchildren that I'm close to. There are some little ones. I'm a great-grandmother, too, and they're just not old enough yet, but, you know, they'll get there eventually. But I have shared them with my library and the kids around here at the library, and they like the Little Princesses. So I got to get my Little Princess fix in somehow, right? So, I mean, because the rest of me is out vampiring all the time, you know, so that's, you know, that's a whole other world. But, I have shared the princesses, so.
Just as an aside, ladies and gentlemen, Sherry Rentschler wrote the book, The Glass Slipper. Breaking the Glass Slipper. See, Pam, I'm going brain stupid. This happens. They all know me.
That's my memoir that you're talking about. Yeah.
You're not stupid.
Sherry can tell you when it gets this time of night, for some reason my brain just takes on a life of its own and goes somewhere. I'm not sure where. I can't find it. But that's why Sherry likes these books, because Sherry really is in another life a princess, and but she writes the dark side too. But Sherry really, really, really is a princess because she built her own happily ever after.
Oh well, thank you very much. But I think Pam's the princess. I think, you know, she's got me cornered on that one.
I'm 35 years in, so yeah.
That's it. Pretty cool. I've got 28 years coming up at the end of the month. But I think Pam's got me beat.
Yeah, but that's 28 is nothing to sneeze at, Sherry. 35 has been really amazing. We have shared so many positives, and you know, you just hang on through the tough times, like when my mom passed of cancer and Terry's dad passed of cancer, and you just hang on to each other during those tough times and build your relationship early and try to work it and stay strong with each other, and for heaven's sake, don't kill each other with the mean things that you can say. I guess one of our biggest things is that we don't fight. If we can't talk something out, we just say, let's not talk about it right now because I'm not able to stay calm. Because when you're mean, you say mean things if you're that aggravated, mm-hmm. and they're hurtful, and you can't take them back, even if you apologize. You can't unsay the words, and and he can't unhear them if I say something. So we've just made it a promise to each other not to argue when we are not able to control what comes out of our mouths. So we're very proud of that. And it doesn't mean we don't disagree, because we have had some disagreements. But we just do our best not to let it turn into an ugly situation that we'd both be ashamed of later.
Well, since we've all opened that doorway, let's talk about your self-help book. Give us the title of it and walk us through it. And I'm sure Sherry's read it as well. Walk us through it and why you wrote it.
Okay. It's called After I Do, A Marriage Map. And I wrote it because October is Domestic Violence Month. And a few years ago, another author friend asked me to write for a website that she was going to put up just for the month of October, not to sell anything, but just to promote domestic violence awareness. And my father and my mother did not have the relationship that I have with my husband. My dad was an abusive alcoholic. He also had been diagnosed with they call it bipolar now, but back in the day it was manic depressive, schizophrenia, mm-hmm. and he was abusive to my mom. And I wrote about how I broke the domestic violence cycle. And Jenna, the website owner, told me that I got the most hits out of anybody because I guess they wanted to know how to make it stop. And so she suggested I write more, and I originally was going to just put blog posts up, but I kept writing and writing, and it turned into a book. And she read the first draft of it, and she's like, you held back. She's like, you need to go back and write more. Just pour the emotion into it. And so when I did, and there would be moments when I was writing, as I was typing, there were tears just coming out of my eyes. Because
you have to write what scares you.
It's hard to relive that part of your life, you know, but you have to relive it to get it into the book. And the book itself is not rooted on the domestic violence. It's rooted on the positive nature of my marriage. It introduces that I came from there, but it's not rooted in domestic violence. It's not about my parents' marriage. It's about my marriage. And it was wonderful to write. And when I had Terry read it, my husband, before I sent it to the editor, because I told him, sweetie, this is not just my story, it's yours too. It's our story. And so if I've got anything in here that you're uncomfortable with me disclosing,
then I want you to tell me. I want you to have complete 100% permission to add something or delete something, whatever it is. And he looked at me after he read it, and he goes, "This is amazing." And when he approves of the things I've written, I just get, like, all warm and fuzzy inside, because I know I've done it. I know I've hit it on the head. So I like that part.
That's kind of funny you mentioned that, because the website, because that's how I met PJ, Yvonne.
Oh, yeah? Because
I wrote for the same website the same year that she did, and I had an article up on End the Silence for Domestic Violence Awareness. And so that's how I actually met PJ,
yes.
Quote unquote met, because it was online. But yeah, and I was impressed by her honesty, and her writing was clear, and she just bared it all. And it takes a lot of bravery for a woman to put herself out there, especially several years ago. I see more and more women doing it now, and there's more acceptance now than there were 3-4 years ago. So it impressed me, and I thought this is somebody you got to know.
Well, let me.
So you need to read her book.
I am a survivor of an 18-year domestic violence relationship. So I understand the catharsis. Was it a catharsis when y'all were writing on that site?
Yes.
Jenna Brooks gave us a wonderful place to express ourselves, and like PJ was saying, to tell your story, and to, you set yourself free when you do that, and you give other women a chance to be set free too, because they realize they're not alone. And PJ's story struck so many hearts and made women stand up and go, okay, then I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she helped a lot of women, and because of that. And her book is just wonderful that way.
And being open and telling people, you don't have to let your past dictate your future, is one of my strongest stories.
Amen.
Because I had a few people that supported me as a young child, my favorite uncle out in California, and my mom, and enough people, just a handful, but enough to tell me, you can do whatever you want to do. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to marry. You don't have to complete this cycle. It doesn't have to keep going. You can break it. And so I did. I mean, without their support, I don't know where I would have ended up. But fortunately, I had their support. So my comment would be, if you see a child that needs somebody, reach out and tell them that they are worthy, they are a wonderful person, and that they don't ever deserve anything that's going bad like that, but that they don't have to make it continue in their lives, that they have control over their lives if they get an education, because education was my way out. It was the ticket out, and it is the ticket out for the majority of people, that at least women who used to be so dependent on men. I swore for years when I was a teenager, I was like, I'll never be dependent on a man. I'll never be dependent. My mom thought I meant I would never get married, so she was just floored when we got engaged. That's never what I meant. I just meant I wouldn't be trapped, that I would give love a chance, but I wouldn't be trapped into some place where I couldn't get out because of money. So one person can make a difference in a kid's life.
And that is very, very true. And what I tell people that I talk to who have been in a domestic violence relationship, and some still were at the time, I'd say, look, if your past does not define you, it was a defining moment, but it does not define who you are.
Right.
You you take it and you learn from it, but you have to move on from it. You have to come through, like I call it the tunnel of darkness, to the light at the end, because if you don't, you're trapped. It's like you both say, you're trapped forever in that quagmire, and you keep repeating those same things over and over again, and you never get a different result.
Right. Yep, you've got to make sure you look into what kind of person you're choosing to date, because if you're associating with an abusive person during dating, that's who you're going to end up marrying if you don't get away from that kind of person. So it starts even with the dating years. Pay attention to what they're doing and how they're treating you. How do they treat their mom? How do they treat their sisters? What does it look like that their parents look like? Because if it appears that the mom looks like they're afraid of the dad, then there might be something going on there. And the pattern, if you're not careful, will continue. So it's a matter of being aware of your surroundings, too.
Sherry, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if part of the curriculum in school was on domestic violence?
Wow, that's a heavy question. I think that children should be taught from the beginning, not about those words exactly when they're very young, domestic violence, but they should be taught respect for each other and each other's beings. It doesn't have to be a sexist thing. Men and women should both respect each other equally, and little boys and little girls should do the same. And we should teach no hitting, you know, for both boys and girls.
Well, and that's the thing is, my mom was very good at teaching that for us when we were little, and like, pet the dog nicely or pet the cat nicely. Don't hit it hard, you know, patting it. And in general, how would you think that makes your brother feel if you bite him, or how does you think your sister feels if you hit her? It was teaching empathy to each other, and I'm not sure that there's much of that going on anymore.
I agree.
No, I think, and you're right. I think it has to be, starts with the parents. Parents have to do it. I mean, it's like, it's the thing where they teach you to use your indoor voice versus your outdoor voice, so that you're not yelling at people all the time, and you don't hit people, and you don't bite people, and that's a parent thing, you know. I don't believe in making your teachers and your churches your babysitters. It has to start at home.
Pardon me.
No, go ahead, Pam.
I think if parents had to go through what Terry and I are going through to become an adoptive parent, maybe they'd be better parents. I mean, we actually had to write our life stories. We had to tell them all about ourselves and what makes us think that we'd be good parents, and relate to them the things that have happened to us so that they can ensure that they believe we won't repeat mistakes that did happen in our childhoods or whatever. If parents had to do that rather than just have sex and have a baby, then maybe there'd be better parents in the world.
Amen. There's so many people that have to go counseling to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you have to have some kind of counseling before you have kids? I mean, that seems like
that's an excellent thought.
It's a no-brainer.
It really would help couples succeed more if they had some communication skills. The counselors could help them learn how to communicate, how to tell each other they were angry without biting each other's heads off, and just teach the communication that isn't being taught anymore. And how to what they call it, the fight fair, when you see it on TV, how to fight fair. And that's basically what I said. You don't insult each other at the time that you're saying something. You say more like, it upset me when this action occurred. And so it takes it away from, I hate it when you do whatever. It takes the anger out of the words.
And it doesn't make it personal, so that the person on the receiving end of that does not become defensive.
Right, they're much more receptive to hearing what it is that upset you, and then they go, oh, okay, well, I didn't know that. I won't do it anymore. It works fabulously.
There's also something to be said for understanding that girls and boys do not communicate the same. And what we say is often not what we hear because they don't say things the same way we do. And we have to learn. Girls learn this very slowly, unfortunately. They think they know guys, but they don't because they don't speak. Men speak.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, women say, hi, PJ, how you doing? Tell me how you're feeling. How's the paperwork going? And the guys are like, hey, you know.
What's up,
bro? Yeah, thanks. I mean, they say, you know, if things are good, they're sharing a beer and life is happy. And the women are sitting at the kitchen table and it's detail, detail, detail. And guys are not into detail. They're just not.
It's so hilarious that you say that. When I took your time and blood draft on the plane with me to Niagara Falls, Sherry, I had it, and the girl next to me said, "Are you an editor? Are you editing that?" And so I told her that what I was doing, and you know, reviewing the characters to make sure that they were, their descriptions were correct. It was just content, that it wasn't grammatical. And, you know, I was explaining the whole thing, exactly what you say, all the details. Terry later goes, I would have just said yes.
See? That's funny.
That's good. That is so
That is
classic.
Really good.
Just say yes.
Oh, boy. But that's very true, and I think if we would tell little girls this in the beginning, there would be a lot less agony that goes on by the time they hit high school. You know, is he, why doesn't he talk to me, Mom? You know, what did he say to you, honey? He said, you want to go out? I said, yes, and then he wouldn't talk to me anymore. It's like, okay. You told him what he needed to hear. He left, you know.
Exactly.
That's funny.
Well, and guys are like that. They don't want the details. They just,
no.
Brass facts, moving on here. We don't have time for the details.
Well, it sounds to me like PJ's ready to go. I hope you have great success and that you and Terry are both blessed very soon, because it sounds to me like you guys are more than ready.
We are so excited and can't wait to start meeting the children who need us. Our house is waiting. We have a spare bedroom in there just waiting, and we didn't decorate it. We purposely left it undecorated because we moved our office out of the spare bedroom, and we have the furniture in there. But we want her to feel like it's hers, and so whatever she wants to do to it, it's going to be hers. So we're excited about that.
Well, I'm
going
to
be.
I had to jump off here, Yvonne and Pam, and I want to thank you for letting me have a chance to talk with Pam about her books and everything, because I love her stories and I share them often. So I hope other people take the time to buy her books. And thank you for letting me have a chance to come on and ask my questions, Yvonne. I really appreciate
honey, it. Anytime you want to come play, you are more than welcome.
Thank you, Pam.
I wish you the best success.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Love you, honey.
Bye.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that was our friend, Sherry Rensler, who is a magnificent author in her own. Yes, she will be coming back on the show. I think it's around next month sometime. So, Pam, in the few minutes that we have left, believe it or not, we are going to be running out of time here shortly. Let's talk about literacy for a few minutes, because like myself, I believe that every human being on the planet should have the availability to be able to learn how to read, because knowing how to read and knowing and understanding words is power. Would that be a fair statement?
Truly a fair statement, Yvonne. It's reading is critical. I wouldn't be a CPA if I couldn't read. I wouldn't be able to do the math if I couldn't read. And it holds people back from being able to have a job that will actually pay them enough to make it a decent living in our society. without being able to read. There aren't that many mechanical jobs left that don't require something. Even the automotive jobs nowadays, they require you to understand the computers. And used to, a mechanic could just work their way through an engine, but that's not the case anymore.
No.
So even every job there is, it requires you to be able to read. So it's critical.
If we don't allow others to learn the power of words and the meaning of words and the importance of words, would it also be fair to say that we have, in essence, shot our own selves in the foot and helped create the downfall of a productive society and our future?
Absolutely. We have to try to make sure that people can read. And it's one of the things that I will probably do after I leave the Aviation Authority at some time in my future, is to try to volunteer more. Right now, they're keeping me hopping, and I can't volunteer like I would want to, but I really want to volunteer in the literacy area. And one thing that I had toyed with for a while but haven't been able to move forward on, and I'm not sure if I'll be able to or not, but I wanted to try to figure out how to pair up police officers with authors, because
Ooh.
Authors have their books and they want to be able to share their books in schools with the kids. But if we could have police officers going to the schools with the authors and reading with the kids, they would learn to trust. There's this mistrust of the police mm-hmm. these days, and they're not bad people. There are some. There are bad ones. But
well, there's bad ones in everything.
For the most part, they're not bad. And if we could somehow pair up authors and police officers to take the authors' books into the schools and read to the kids and build the trust again.
What a fantastic project.
I just have to figure out the time to get it started. how do I manage that? When we talk about cloning, if I could add a few more hours to the day too, that would
there
be helpful.
There you go. Well, you know, I am a proponent that if you put it out into the universe, a way is found. So now we have thrown it out into the universe, and a way now will be found, because that is an excellent, excellent goal to have.
Isn't it? I mean, we have books to share. We have words to share. And there's trust that needs to be built. And so I can't think of a better way to do it.
I love that idea. I do. I will think on these things and send you some suggestions.
That'd be great.
See how this all well works? Now, in the few remaining minutes, believe it or not, this hour's almost up. I told you it was going to fly by. Tell the folks where you can be found and the name of your books so they can... No, y'all can't go now. You've got to wait till after the show's over. So they can hook up with you on Facebook, and you can keep them up to date on your next releases and where they can go and find the books that you write.
Okay. I'm on Facebook with PJ LaRue, LARUE, and I'm on Twitter. It's at PJ_LaRue. And my books are The Mystic Princesses and the Whirlpool, The Mystic Princesses and the Magic Show, After I Do, A Marriage Map, and Point of View. Oh, and I didn't tell you about the other thing that I'm working on. It's more of a workbook for helping people with financial planning, as far as, like, I'm a CPA. I do all of our bills. I take care of everything. And Terry kept going, Pam, if something ever happens to you, I'm not going to know where anything is. So it's more of a informational tool for one spouse to leave to another spouse if something happens, how to, where to pick up financially. And I couldn't find what I wanted. I bought probably at least 5 or 6 books on Amazon and turned them all back in because they weren't what I wanted. So I created my own. It's going to be called Family Financials and Memorable Moments, because I wanted to leave memories
wow.
in it too, not just here's our bank account, here's our life insurance account, whatever. I wanted some memories in there that as people are going through and in the real estate section, remember our first house and what we did, how we struggled with the payment, or whatever you write. It's got blank pages for you to write whatever you want. So I'm excited about it, and it'll be coming out pretty soon.
You there?
I am. Are you there?
Hello.
Yvonne?
Ladies and gentlemen, I've lost my guest. Hold on, let me call in.
Yvonne?
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Pam, you there?
Pam, you there?
Hello?
Hello?
Pam? Ladies and gentlemen, for some reason I have lost my guest, and I don't know what happened to her. Pam, are you there, honey? If Pam can hear me, I need for her to call back in. I want to thank her for being on the show. For some reason, I don't know what happened, but...
I don't either.
There you are. It just went blank. I had to call in on my own show because my microphone wasn't picking up. I think Blog Talk Radio is possessed.
I
love
I can hear you, and I'm going, Yvonne.
I love the idea of the financial book. That is an excellent, excellent thing. When is it coming out?
I'm working on the table of contents and the copyright page. I'm trying to figure out the order of the pages. And so pretty soon.
Sweet. Well, we have just about run out of time. And again, I apologize for Blog Talk Radio's FUBAR, but sometimes that happens with live radio. I appreciate your patience in not hanging up. Tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, our guest will be author Julie Morgan. She's been on before and will be on again. And I want to thank you, Pam, so much for spending an hour with me. I am so humbled and I am so appreciative. And I want you to come back.
Oh, thank you so much. I would love to.
This was
so much fun.
What I want to do when you come back is let's talk about that book and financial planning and the importance of being prepared for things like that.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it first. I'm going to get Pam back after the first of the year, and we'll have a whole hour on all of that because a lot of us don't think ahead. We just don't because we think we're going to live forever. But as you all know, at the end of the show, I say several things. Don't just feel special, be special. And in Pam's book about the mystic princesses, that's what it talks about, I am assuming, because that's exactly what the impression I'm getting. And the difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. Think about that. The difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. And we have touched on that tonight. Between Sherry and Pam and myself, we've touched on that. We cannot allow our past experience to be our hitching post. They have to be our guidepost. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. And the way that you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, that is your trademark. And, Pam, I hope you have had as much fun tonight as I have had.
I did. It was tremendous.
And I can't wait to bring you back.
Thank you.
That will be so much fun. And keep me updated on your newest adventure.
I will. Because it'll be so much fun.
That will be cause for celebration. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain with your host, Yvonne Mason, and my wonderful, wonderful guest, Pam LaRue. Please go and friend her on Facebook. Go buy her books and understand that we love you all and we appreciate you all, and we will see you again tomorrow night here on Off the Chain at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Pam, don't hang up when the show goes off the air because I have some things I need to tell you.
Okay.
We are off the air now, and what will happen when we hang up, the show will go up into archives, and when it goes into archives, I will download the show. I will put it on the Facebook page and tag you. I will tag both the PJ LaRue and your personal page. You take the show and run with it. Put it everywhere.
Okay.
And then tomorrow I will put it up on SoundCloud, MixCloud, Spreaker, Podcast.com, and Podcast Garden. Those are five podcasts. It also shows up on YouTube, TuneIn Radio, FM.com, and iTunes.
Wow.
So you're going to be heard in over 70-plus countries all over the world.
Wow. That's
and
pretty
I will,
amazing.
Yes. And it's I love it because it makes y'all so successful. But what I will do is I will, once I upload the podcast, I will, again, put them up on my Facebook page and tag you in it. And I also put hashtags on them so
okay.
that they show up on Twitter with the hashtags.
Right.
So you're going to get all kinds of exposure. Take these podcasts with my blessing and put them out there for the whole world to hear how wonderful you are.
Oh, thank you so much. This was so much fun, Yvonne.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And see, you weren't nervous at all. You did it like a pro.
Oh, thank you.
So let me get this uploaded, and I will send you some dates, and we'll get you back on the show and spend the whole hour talking about the importance of planning ahead.
Okay. That sounds great.
All right, darling. Thank you so much.
You take care.
And take care. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.